Greetings of love and peace to each one of you this morning. Sorry about that. Well, it's been said that oftentimes ministers live in a glass house, but now we have glass pulpits, so I'm not sure here. I feel kind of exposed. Been pondering the names that you see before us this morning, just reflection upon God. The names of God are before you, and just been pondering. Every time I come into this building, you see they're hanging there, and it just inspires me to think of the names of God when you have them right before us. And that's really why we're here this morning. It's because of what God has inspired in us, and we're thankful for that. So we're going to move along here with the topic and the title, I guess, that's been given on your program. It says, an excellent spirit. Maybe in the way of introduction, just to give you a little insight in our lives, Barb and I. It is good to be here. We were here at the beginning of when they started here in Allen County, the homeschool conference. I'm not sure what year that began. Some of you would probably know that. We missed a few years, then last year we attended again, and then here we are again this year. And we've been thankful for them. It's been inspiring for us. Different topics that were shared. I still think back on some of the things that were shared from different people, from different men that were here in those past years. So my name is Mose Swartz. You see it on the flyer. My wife's name is Barbara. We do have 9 children, ranging from 26 to 6 years old, 3 daughters and 6 sons. We started our first year of homeschooling was when our oldest was 5 years old. And now our oldest 2 daughters are married and we have 3 grandchildren. So we've been on this homeschool journey. This is the 21st year that we are entering in. And we've enjoyed that personal, hands-on child training, family life in all those years. Creating memories, building relationships, precious friendships, having our own family humor that wouldn't make sense to anybody else. Just living life together with a purpose before us and a vision. To create or to go for, strive for what's been stated already this morning, to raise up a people that will serve the next generation. That's what we're here to serve, our generation, us older ones, and we are raising up an eternal soul that will in turn serve their generation. And it's more than just, you know, family life at home, and you know, we get into the nitty-gritty of things, and this whole homeschooling thing can take some time, some energy, and some days it doesn't maybe go as well as we'd like for it to. But if we have a vision out ahead and a purpose for it, it can make us to go on, strive on. So, introduction. So we have a topic of discussion before us is drawing some aspects from the book and the life of Daniel. Going back to our heading, an excellent spirit, some questions there, or some sentences there underneath that says, Daniel grew in service to become a special counsel of the king. What was it about Daniel that prepared him to be used by God in this way? So I drew a few things out that I think prepared him to be used by God in the context of the book of Daniel. And there's probably a lot of things that could be drawn out. But as I think of homeschool and the context of homeschool this morning, I would encourage us on into, as we think of Daniel in his later years even, something that began when he was young, that carried him through his, the entirety of his life, being around 90 years old or 90 or somewhere in there, was the extent of his life, thinking of a long life that was set before him. And then we see, we get glimpses of it throughout his life as a young person and then on in his years. And but what carried him through that? What prepared Daniel for that, to be used by God in that way? So we want to draw a few things out that I think prepared him to be used in that way. We are at a homeschool event. In this, there's encouragement for student and or teacher, and sometimes the focus is academics here, and rightly so. So that's where oftentimes what we think of our labor or our energy goes to, the academic side of learning. And I would just insert that as important as academic, as we feel as academics are, there's also another aspect of childhood training, raising up, homeschool, slash whatever else you want to put there. And that has to do with Christian virtues. So as we are homeschooling, there's so much more that is taught than just academics. They are taught by the chores they do, the dishes they wash, the responsibilities that are given them. There's an opportunity to learn from each one of those things and much more. We encourage them in all they do to put forth their best foot forward. And obviously, this puts a big weight upon us as parents. I should say a big weight. It's not a burden. We can't look at it as a burden, but there is this aspect that we lead by example. So we teach out of books, and that's right. That's good. Good books teach good things. But what teaches, I'll say more, I don't want to classify it as best or more or anything like that, but alongside with, how much does it teach when there's a life lived out before us? I mean, there's, when we were growing up, there's people that we admired. There's people that we looked up to, and maybe still, there's people that we just, their Christian virtue, their faithfulness, their consistency, and all those things. When a life is lived out before, and so it is for our children, and for the young ones around us, when there's a godly person that has their heart set upon the goal, how much that inspires and teaches. Obviously, we lead by example. Also, as we, as a family, live life together, we learn how to interact with each other in a respectful and godly way. Here again, we lead by example. The teaching of Christian virtues, godlike character, is very important to learn. If we don't grow in them, we'll have a harder time passing these viable characteristics on. And the teaching of them is a continual life experience. You know, we don't just go through first grade and then we're done. We don't do that in academics, and we're not going to do that spiritually in our spiritual lives either. So, an excellent spirit. What did the queen see when she gave reference to Daniel, to the king, that there's a man in your kingdom, referencing Daniel? Let me just read those verses. They're in chapter 5 of Daniel, if you have your Bibles. If you don't, that's fine. I have it right here. Verse 11 of chapter 5. This is the account when Belshazzar, when the writing was on the wall. There's writing on the wall. And we've used that term, the writing's on the wall. There's a man in thy kingdom in whom is a spear of the holy gods in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving doubts. Amazing. Here's a man that dissolves doubts. Maybe we're not a people here that have any doubts. But here, she's seen in this. Dissolving doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. So, I think of Barnabas went to Antioch, and he seen, they said the testimony of him that when he came back, he said, "I seen the grace of God." So here's an excellent spirit. He has an excellent spirit. How does that look like in today's time? Or how would it look like when you see the grace of God? You know, just think of that. Here's a heathen queen, heathen king, and they've seen an excellent spirit, one that dissolved doubts, one that has all wisdom and understanding. How does this look like? And how would this look like in 2025 for us? That's an excellent spirit there. You know what? I was over here and I seen the grace of God. How would that look like in today's time? Would we not say that they seen the God-likeness in him? And as with any Bible character that we look up to and admire, you know, we can look at David, Joseph, Moses, Paul, Peter, but what stands out to us is the God-likeness that we observe. So the more the individual was like God, or the aspects or the Spirit of God that was emanating from that person, the more we admire that individual. And we can say, we can put names to him. He's a godly person. God-likeness person. And that's our striving for, even in homeschool, as we think of our children raising up. That's what we're striving for. Academics, yes, important. God-likeness. As we think of them putting their feet under our table, as we have a vision for them in life to the next generation. So it's the God-likeness that we observe, and also here with Daniel. Then obviously Jesus is the very incarnation of God in the flesh. We see that. We've heard the phrases. You know, he's just like Jesus. What are we saying? So the more the individual is like Jesus, usually the more he or she is appreciated and looked up to. That excellent spirit that we have at the overarching heading here in this homeschool conference is an excellent spirit, and that's what we're striving for. So as we think about serving our generation, training up our children to serve their generation, we get a vision. I trust as fathers, as mothers, we get a vision to teach our children the godly seed that are surrounding our tables. We have a vision for the future to serve their generation in a godlike way. We're called to be salt and light. And how would that look like? As we think about the input that we're putting into our children. We get a vision to teach them godly principles that will carry them through life. 80, 90-year-old man that had a beginning, maybe coming from y'all's home. In which this brings us to our first thing that we want to look at in trying to answer the above question. So Daniel, so some things to draw from. Prepared him? What was it about Daniel that prepared him to be used by God in the way that he was? As we think of him being taken from his homeland into captivity, serving heathen kings, multiple ones, in multiple kingdoms, with an excellent spirit. So some of this we can maybe seems like, or maybe we're reading in it too much, but I'd say that from the life of Daniel, I would say he was raised and instructed by the things of God, and that's the first one we want to look at and park on here. It seems like early on that Daniel had it in his heart to serve God. It seemed like there had been some valuable principles that were planted in his life as we consider the early choices that he was making in life. So he must have had some parents in his life that cared for him and either gave him an education about the things that really matter or had him taught. Maybe there were some parents that got a vision for the godly principle that we find in Proverbs 22, to where it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we see this in the life of Daniel. When he was old, he was still not departing from it. He was still on course, we could say. We have that instruction in Deuteronomy. Maybe it was in Deuteronomy where they said, Deuteronomy 6, you know your Bibles? Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, I'll just read it here, to where it says, and thou shalt teach them, speaking of children, diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. There's never a time to put it in park. There is total engagement. This diligently, we teach them diligently, is to inculcate, which is to drive or force on, and we're not taking hammers to them and, you know, pounding them with it. But it's to impress by frequent admonitions. And you know how it is. We get in life and seems like, well, I've just told you that. You didn't get it. You just told it again. And so, but it takes consistency. We know that. Maybe we didn't hear it the first time when we were, you know, children. And so our children need to have it impressed upon on them by a continual admonition, just impressed upon them. And that's what teaching is. There's just a continual impressing upon them. Repetitions. Most of who a child is learned before the age of 5. And so in this whole homeschooling thing, you know, I don't know, most of the time they start at kind of in the 7 age range. Some start, you know, when they're 6, depending on when their birthday is. And if you're really energetic, sometimes they start at 5, although I wouldn't necessarily recommend that personally. But by the time they're 5, a lot of who they are is established. It's amazing. So what am I saying in that? This is what I'm saying. In this whole homeschooling thing, so the academic may start at 7, but you actually start when they're born. And when you think of that, it can bring a little bit of soberness to us. But at the same time, we have a vision, we have a purpose, inspiration. We're going to put some valuable input in them. So train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. What can we give them that they will not depart from? What would we want to give them that they would not depart from? What would we want to inspire them with and put in their hearts that would take them through the entirety of their lives? What would that be? This is so very important that we give or teach our children when they are young. It is important that we understand the value invested to us, as these eternal souls are so dependent on us for direction in life. We sometimes don't realize this, and I don't think our children realize this either all the time. But it is our duty to understand the privilege, the opportunity, the responsibility, and the joy that has been given to us in raising, teaching and training our children for a godly seed to serve their generation. If we don't get nothing else today, may that be in the foremost of our thoughts. We are training some people, some eternal souls, to serve their generation. And what should we put in them? This is a tremendous. It's not for self-service or to make us look good as parents. It's not going to hold out. It's not going to come out right if that's our heart. We need to grasp a vision and a purpose as we think of the tremendous assets that God has given us. It is much more than just telling them how to live out. It's okay, we can teach them and tell them, but how much more valuable is it if you show them how to take the next step? And the next step, you know, this is how you walk. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I think us as parents have that same, should have that same mindset to where, you know, what I'm doing, I want you to do. I want you to, I want to be an example to you. And there's times we fall. There's times we don't do everything just right. But if we have the humility of mind to come back to that, you know, I was wrong there and I make my apologies. That's not how it should have looked like. But then we go on. Showing them. True life example. It's not do as I say, not as I do. That won't hold out. You can't tell them one thing and do another. That wouldn't be a good example. But how to relate respectfully to their parents and or siblings is learned at home from parents' demonstration. And that carries through life. What to pursue in life from parents' example. You know, is it worldly values or godly values? What are we pursuing in life? Our children can tell us what we're pursuing. Sometimes we have to sit down as you have older children and maybe ask them, you know, what do you see me pursuing? Teaching them, and we heard it, Brother Solly, reference learning, and we were at a event yesterday or a meeting yesterday. This came up too, to where we teach our children to learn how to learn. And so, if we can teach our children to read well and write well, but for sure read well, there's books that can be taken. We have to be careful what kind of books that they have access to, but there's a lot to be able to learn in books, and to be able to learn to read or learn to learn well can be valuable. That takes them on through life. Values. What kind of values? What do we deem valuable is displayed by us parents, us as parents, our choices, and choices are very important. The whole train up idea is to lead and correct, to narrow. So it has the idea to bring in, to shore in, and to initiate. So you initiate learning, or then there's also the discipline aspect of it, to where there's correction. So we have the God names up here. I was thinking of the cosmos this morning with all its complexity. I mean, who can tell the stars? Who can tell the number of them? Who can tell, you know, all about them? But there's nothing as complex in the entirety of the universe as the human mind. Think of that. That's where learning takes place. There's nothing as complex that they found as the human mind. Okay, so we have huge processors. You know, you computer people, you could probably tell me what the hugest processor is. We just had this a week ago, I guess it was, that some of these things came. But we have these huge processors, but the processor of the mind makes those huge processors pale in size and capabilities. Just think of that. The human mind, Our mind is capable to learn. He has the capability to do many things at once. And we underestimate the power of the mind in that way. There's choices. There's an average of 6,000 thoughts that run through an individual's mind in a day's time. And we think of that, there's choices that are being made at that time and sometimes fast. And there's an average person is said to speak 16,000 words in a day. The average person, you know. We think of those words that the mind is able to put together in the sentences, forms, the thoughts that are made or done or had. And the capabilities, that the potential that is there for the mind to take in, there's just a lot there. Okay. We might have to skim over a few things here. When we say one thing and do another is a form of tearing down, and it rots insecurity in a child's life as it gives confusing message. So I think we conclude that Daniel had somebody instructing him at an early age that affected or influenced him. And will we train up our children, and I'm not talking in a political sense, but will we train up our children to serve in the king's ruling party? Think of that. Are we training up our children in such a way that, as think of them standing in the king's court in a ruling party? Daniel in 1:8, okay, so now we're going to the second one real quick that we drew out from that question that of what prepared him. And I would say that Daniel got a hold of the instruction in his own life. In Daniel 1:8 said, he purposed in his heart, a commitment was made to not defile himself. He was grasping hold of those things that were given him and making them personal in his own life. We would say he was owning them. It's one thing to be there, to be conforming to the parents' wishes, desires, and teachings. This may be for some of you older young people and or younger people. It's one thing to be conforming to your parents' wishes and desires and teachings. It's another thing when there is a transformation, we would use the term born again, and an individual goes after the things of God out of his own heart. This is another level of learning. We know that it is so much better if this God-likeness comes out of a converted heart, when there is a purpose and a commitment to God's values no matter what. When we see that switch being done or made by God, when there's an input, there's a transformation of heart, and it comes out in life, you know, what does that do to a mother and a father's heart when they see their child making that commitment to God things? Owning them themselves, you know, that's very rewarding. And those times, even in school, you know, after you see some of them graduate and they've went on and got their schooling done, and they you feel like they've done well, that's a tremendous encouragement to see that. But on the spiritual side also, you feel like there's some rewards after those laboring times when you were just thought, you know, how are we ever going to get through this one? Then you have the end. So I would, if you're in the middle of it, if today finds you right in the middle of that homeschooling thing, and it's just day to day grind, I can tell you from the other side now, we're still in it. We still have some young ones, but we have five of them that are done with school. And so now we're on the other side of it. It's all worth it. So I encourage you, if you're in it, there's a blessing for you coming. So we see him honoring and showing respect to the prince of the eunuchs, captain of the king's guard, and the king himself. Remember that Daniel was in captivity in a foreign land, and he could have just threw up his hands and said, what is the use, and refused to learn the tongue and the ways of the Chaldeans. In that he related well, we understand that he allowed himself to be taught. We can learn from this. allow ourselves to be taught, even us older ones, we can allow input in people's lives. And so, okay. It's a commitment of honoring God in the four land we see in the three Hebrew boys. This whole commitment that I will not bow. And so as we live in a society that is really anti-God, will we allow ourselves, even as parents, will we bow to the things of this world and allow our children to follow suit? Or will we say, I will not bow, the world has no drawing to me? Okay. The third one, we're skipping quite a few things here, is Daniel's devotion to God. We find that in Daniel 6:10, three times a day, gave thanks before his God, praying and making supplication, verse 11. We also see in the account the king had in his dream. Okay, so not only was he required to interpret the dream, but he was to state what the dream was initially. You know, think about someone coming to you. Maybe Trump came to you and said, okay, so not only you're counted as one of the assumed wise men of the day, and Trump comes to you and says, I had a dream. First of all, you're going to tell me what I dreamed, and then the interpretation thereof. You know, that would put us in a predicament, wouldn't it not? But here, his devotion to God was such that he had a connection. He had confidence in God. And so that's what I want to encourage us here to this morning, is just that devotion to God in prayer, access to God, to be in God's presence. And we teach our children that way. Sometimes we have to help them get up and have their own time with God before the day begins. That whole trust and confidence in God's supernatural power / sovereignty. Daniel had that. He had that confidence in God that God would see him through, his devotion there. So Daniel was a bright spot in Israel's captivity. It was through this time in Babylon that cured Israel of idolatry. Think of this. And as we think of raising up our children, you don't find it in Israel's history after this. So God used Daniel with his excellent spirit to reveal himself, and now it's our turn to serve our generation and teach our children to serve theirs and so on, to be able to have God-likeness input in their lives that carries them throughout the entirety of their lives, and realize it's that Christ-likeness, that God-likeness that prepared Daniel for service, and the same will be for you and I and our children. God's blessings.